Okay, if you do, have your Bibles. Get them ready. We're going to go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the blessing to be able to minister this morning. God, I ask that you would anoint my lips to give me wisdom, to give me fruit, to give me encouragement to those who need it the most. Lord, I pray for every single person in here as they continue their week, that they will be filled and refreshed, that they will see that this is the beginning of something new for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So I was super pumped when my husband asked me to preach today. I was a little nervous because even though I have a lot to say, you can ask my kids that, I still have a hard time coming up here just for the fact that this is me stretching. This is me going out of my comfort zone. I'd rather just be behind the scenes working in that way, but that's not where God wants to use me in this season. And so instead of fighting him on it and arguing like I've done for months, I'm going to give in and say, God, I'll do what you've called me to do. Amen. So I was kind of pumped when my husband asked me to preach because God was already working on me in that area and telling me, get ready because something's about to happen. And when I asked him what his series was on, I got really excited because that is something that God has actually been speaking in my life. So for a while now, God has been pushing me to not just dig a little deeper in my study. He's also been making me see why it's so important that we study. It's not the fact that we're doing the routine of it all, but what is it we're learning? What is the purpose of the Bible? Why did God give us the Bible? And why is all that's in it in there? That's Southern slang, in case you didn't know. But before we get into this, I wanted to first say, this is out of my comfort zone. So I can be long-winded, and I'll try not to be. You can ask my kids again that, because they can attest to that. But the more encouragement I get, if you agree with what I'm saying, if you're getting it, say amen. If it hurts, say ow. What that tells me is I'm getting through, and so I don't have to keep harping. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So when pastors are telling you, we want to hear amen, they're saying, please don't make us harp. Let us know it's getting through, either good or bad. And so, participate. I like to hear feedback. Amen? All right. So, some of you may have already tuned me out because we're going to talk about the Word of God today and why it's important to study the Word of God. But before you fully tune me out, let me tell you, I'm going to cover every aspect. I'm not going to leave any person out of this, I promise. I'll make sure we hit on every single subject. And not only that, there's a Christian mindset that automatically, if you're a Christian, you know you're supposed to read your Bible. We all know that. But the problem is a lot of people read their Bible, but they don't study it. I heard a missionary once say that when he was a kid, he had a goal of reading a scripture a day or a chapter a day, whichever one he could do. And he went to a slumber party at his friend's house, and he realized, oh, I didn't read my Bible today. He literally ran home. It was in his neighborhood, and went home and found Jesus wept and shut his Bible and said, that's good, and ran back to his friend's house. And he said all through that night he got convicted because he realized, yeah, I read Jesus wept, but why'd he weep? I don't understand it. And it bothered him. As a kid, it bothered him because he realized, I just read it to get it off of my to-do list, to check it off. And so you may tune me out, like I said, but we're going to hit on every area. It's not just an automatic that you're supposed to read your Bible. You need to study the Bible. You need to understand. It's God's love letter to us. And what is his reason for writing it? I found this amazing quote that I wanted to share with everybody. There are a lot of Christians that live below their power and authority because they just simply don't know what is written. Let that sink in. When I read that, I was convicted because I realized there are far more things in this Bible than I comprehend, and I need to dig deeper to understand because there's a reason why God put them in there, and it's a lack of knowledge, and we got to be careful because our next generation are seeing that. It's more than posting a scripture on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat. A lot of times those scriptures that you post or just a little picture of somebody who did it themselves, and half of it's even true. I recently heard someone trying to talk on a video about why they're no longer doing something with somebody, and it was over money. And what they said was, like the Bible says, money is the root of all evil. And I'm thinking to myself, is money really the root of all evil, or is the love of money? Amen. And see, that's where we're seeing things get mixed up. If we take something and we only read half of it, but God's telling us, read it in the context, just like that man who said, why did Jesus weep? What was his purpose? Or like some people know that Jesus flipped tables, but they don't know why. They just think, well, I can do it too, because I'm a Christian. We have to study the word. And what makes it really dangerous is, in today's society, I've seen it's easy to get lost in a false religion with false beliefs because people put a pretty bow called Christianity on it, but none of it is backed up with scripture. And just since the pandemic, I've seen people who do Facebook Lives where they're doing a whole message, they're preaching and they're teaching, and not a single bit of scripture is there to back it up. That's scary, and that's dangerous. And that's what's going to cause the next generation to believe whatever they want. That's the reason why we have people like Oprah Winfrey, who says, you can get to heaven any way you want. We have to be careful of what we're taking in. A lot of people will listen to sermons all day long and listen to teaching, but they're not taking in the scriptures that go with it. And that's scary. I'll quit being so mean for a moment. I did say that I wrote on my notes, I'm not going to name the people that I've seen do that in Facebook Lives or even on TV and things like that, but I will name one that gets accused of it, that I've been personally to their service, and trust me, they use scripture. And not only that, I've watched some of their other messages where they straight just teach Bible, and that's Joel Osteen. A lot of people want to put him down, but you know what? I've been in his service. I've seen him in the altars praying with people. I've seen him teach from Scripture. But he's the one that everybody notices that they use, and that's because TV likes to play a different part. So today I'm going to share with you 3 points that have really came to my heart since doing this. There's a whole lot more, but I'm just going to keep it at 3 right now because we will literally be here all day. Because God has really been opening my heart to so many things. But I want to first give a confession, okay? When I wake up in the morning, the Bible isn't the first thing I do. I know everybody says you're supposed to wake up, read the Bible, and start your day. The way my day goes, I wake up at 6:30, I go and I make my pre-workout for the gym. I drink it real fast, take about 5 minutes to myself, then I rush upstairs to try to get my kids up, come back downstairs, bring my husband his pre-workout, and wake him up. Then I go back upstairs for the next time to tell them to get up again. Usually it goes 3 times. Now, I'll tell you what really wakes them up is when they have a messy room and I walk in and I say, are you kidding me? Both heads are like, just pop straight up. Because right then they know, oh man. So I need to actually start doing that because their room is never clean. But So that is my morning routine. And then as I'm getting them out the door, we rush to the school, I drop them off, and my husband and I go to the gym for about an hour. And at the gym, I turn on my YouVersion app, and I listen to the audio, and I get on the treadmill or the elliptical, and I have it here, and I read as it's speaking to me. And that helps me. Because right then, my brain has totally focused. I've got my body moving because I've got that pre-workout in me, and I'm focused, and I'm centered, and I can actually catch what the Bible is speaking to me. And it makes it so much easier for me. If I tried to get up first thing in the morning while I'm drinking my pre-workout and trying to read my Bible, my brain is going through, well, I got this today, that today. I gotta go wake up the kids. There's no focus on God. There's no time to allow God to speak to me. That is me turning what's supposed to be a relationship into a routine. And I'm about to set somebody free here. If you have to find a different way to get your scriptures in, to actually take them in to where you allow them to speak into your life, where you allow God to speak into your life completely, change your schedule. This is what works for me. Because by the time I get home from the gym, I've done my Bible study, and if there's something deeper I want to go into, I do it there at home. But usually by that time, I've gotten my Bible study in, I've done some worshiping at the gym, and now I'm ready to just spend time with God and pray. So that's my schedule. That's what I can do. So don't think that you have to do this special routine that is uncomfortable and miserable in order to do it right. God wants to give you everything, but He wants you there and alert. If you are doing something, if you are getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to read your Bible and you hate it, then you've missed the point. So just switch your schedule. Figure out what you have to do in order to actually do that right. And get it. And absorb what God is trying to tell you. Because there should be encouragement, strength, wisdom, power, and joy, and so much more that comes from your time in God's Word. Not the opposite. I've even found where I've had a crummy day and I'm reading the Bible and it's not even anything that's supposed to be encouraging. It could even be I'm in Job, but my perspective is different after I read it. And that's because I know God was speaking to me. And even though I'm reading something that's so dreary, at the same time, He's feeding in me and He's filling up my spirit. One more time, He's filling up my cup and He's refueling me. And that's the purpose of it. That's what God wants to do. He wants to be in your life. He wants you to welcome Him in fully, and that's even in the Word of God. So now that we've gotten my confession out of the way, now y'all know my routine, and I guess you could say I put my pre-workout first. I wanted to start in point number one, and that is the Word of God is proven. There's proof in this Bible. It's not just a book. It's historically, it's scientifically, and it's geographically accurate. It was really cool when we got the chance to go to Israel and see all the areas that we've read about and actually see the reality of them. And I think one of them was that really hit us was when we were in Jerusalem, we saw how the houses were, and it was as though they were built up on a mountain, like on a hill. They just kept building up. And you could see the roofs, like it was no big deal. And it made us think about David, how easy it was for him to see Bathsheba. And everywhere we went, it was as though the Bible just came alive. There was proof in everything. And so I'm not going to give you all these examples today and bore you down with it. I found it cool to find out, but not everybody is into that. You know, when you find out that there are chariots at the bottom of the Red Sea and so many things. Not only that, the circumcision, like the day that God told them when to circumcise and they found medical proof on why you do it on that day. There's so many cool things when it comes to that. So the Bible has been proven. Now, I've heard some people try to say that when Christians read their Bible, all they do is see everything. That's all they see is Bible, scripture, and everything that they see. and complain about it. But yeah, we do. When you truly read your Bible, your eyes get opened to what the scriptures say. And what's always been there, the blinders have been taken off. And now you see the world for what it really is. In today's society, I've noticed that there's more things trying to desensitize us to worldly things. And we were actually recently, I was talking to someone about that, on how you can find now, if you go back and you look in the 80s at any commercial there was, they didn't have same-sex relationships. Now they have it, and it's open as though it was no big deal. And that's the goal, is to tell us it's no big deal. But when we read the scripture and we see what the scripture tells us, that's a different story. It is a big deal. And that is the biggest battle I've seen between Christians lately, is people who do know the scriptures versus those who simply don't care. They may know them, but their hearts are hardened to it. So I'm going to go through for a moment some info and statistics. You don't mind, do you? Good, good. All right. There are poets, prophets, sailors, soldiers, kings, attorneys, doctors, prisoners, commoners, all who have had a hand in writing the Bible. Now, what's so cool about that is we may not relate to all of them or most of them. I don't relate to an attorney or a doctor. Sure don't, a sailor. But there's at least one or two we can all relate to, and that's good news. That's amazing news, because what that tells me is that there's no one too low or too high ranked for God to want to speak to or use. That's good news for me, because I feel like I sound like a hillbilly when I'm up here, and I probably do. I go back and watch the video, and I say, oh, is that how I sound? And Adam says, yep. Yes, the common thing I hear around here whenever I talk out loud to people is, you're not from here. No, I'm not. Nope. Never noticed my accent until I moved here. And then it was like, boom, you're a hillbilly. So that gives me great joy, because as I told you, this is the hardest thing for me to do. I'm sure my face will turn red, which is a natural thing. It's no big deal to me. It's just one of those, it's my face flushes. And it's hard to sometimes look at people, because sometimes you think people are at you, but they're really not. Some of them are concentrating. Some of them are listening. Some of them are scrolling through Facebook. You get it all. And so this is the hardest thing for me to do, is to publicly speak. I'm like, God, why couldn't you give me something like a voice to sing? And he said, because I didn't want you to have it. So I have to use what God gave me, and I have to use the authority that God gave me with that. So there's great joy in knowing that there are people out there just like me that God uses. And I think back to Saul. Saul in his time was a terrorist. But he's so amazing when he became Paul and how God used him. Now, I don't want to ever see someone have to go through the transformation as Saul did and be blind. Which is funny, because what we talked about a while ago, we have the blinders off. Have a different vision. 66 books were written over 1,600 years by 40 different authors on 3 continents in 3 different languages. That's pretty cool. All in this, to know how many authors, how much time, not to mention how many translations there are in this one book. One book. There's over 268 million downloads of the YouVersion app since 2008. That's the Bible app, for some who wasn't sure. Or let me put it this way. It's the app that a lot of people like to download when they want to act like they're looking at scripture, but they're scrolling through Instagram. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I had a friend who was a pastor who told me that. He was like, when you see I'm doing this, you know they're not reading scripture. He goes, I get worried when they do this. He says, I see you. And so, So yes, 268 million downloads to the YouVersion app. And what's so cool about the YouVersion app is they actually have devotions in there. Have y'all seen the devotions? We did 1 year on there, the 1 year app through the church. And that's really cool. You know, there's a lot of pastors that when they teach, they use the YouVersion app for their notes. And you can find them on there. It's really cool. The YouVersion app is an amazing thing to have. And I use it every day for me to be at the gym. And I'm reading along as I'm listening to it. And see, I'm a visual person. So that helps me because I'm hearing it, but I'm reading it. And as I'm reading it, I'm visualizing. That's how God uses me. He gives me images. If you're around me long enough, you'll notice that I have some kind of kooky, weird comparison to everything. And usually they're movies. I do a lot of movie quotes. I do a lot of silly things like that. And it's because that's how God uses me. I'm a visual person. Growing up, we had this little gas station down the street called Tony's, and that's all we had. And he had, like, low-budget movies that he would rent. And so as kids, that's all we would do. We would go and rent all these movies. So now I have all these quotes for movies that nobody knows. And so, but my sister will watch and be like, I know what she's talking about. And so that's how my brain works. And so when you're reading your Bible, let that be how you get into the Word, how God uses you. Maybe you like statistics. Look into the statistics of the Bible. Check things out like that. Maybe you're a visual. Maybe you do things by grammar. There are so many different ways that you can look into the Bible and study it. I wanted to look up this statistic right here, and it really broke my heart. I'm going to use the exact words that they say to use because you can't really say that it's banned. It says that in 52 countries, the Bible is illegal and or severely restricted. 52 countries. Well, I got to thinking and I typed in, well, how many countries is Harry Potter banned in? Couldn't get an answer. Just said some schools. So I thought, well, I can't find that answer, but I can still share that with you. Now, if this is just a book, why would it be banned? What makes it banned? I mean, to the non-Christian, it's just a book of stories, right? To the Muslims who say they worship the same God as us and believe in Jesus, but not as the Messiah, why do they ban it? Is there something that they know that we don't know? Makes you wonder. Because if they serve the same God, wouldn't they want this included in there? If they believe in Jesus as a prophet, wouldn't this not bother them? Maybe it's the enemy knows a little more than some of us. We have to be cautious because eventually it's going to come to our country. There are some countries out there who have to hide their faith, have to hide that they even have a Bible in fear of being killed. That's satanic. That's demonic. And that's evil. And that is not the same God that we serve. But as I said earlier, Oprah says, all roads can lead to heaven. And she would know. But there is power in every single page. Even in the scripture, Jesus wept. There's power in that. There's authority. And it's a beautiful thing. I love my Bible. This Bible is pretty old now. And I use it quite often. Poor Luke, he's falling apart on me. But I write in my Bible because things that God speaks to me, I want to remember. And it's fun going back and rereading areas because you need to renew your mind. And that's going to be the next thing that we talk about. Number two, the Word of God is renewing. Romans 12:2. Are you able to get that up? There you go. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to renew our minds. When I think of renewing, it's a constant thing. It's not a one time, one and done. Jesus wept, stayed with him because of how bad it got to him. That's it. But we have to constantly be in the Word. It's not just a one and done thing. It's not, like I said earlier, just reading one on Instagram or on Facebook or reading a great quote by a pastor. We need to be in the Word ourselves because there's power in it. And there's authority that comes from it. So Brad last week talked about how I like to bake, and so I thought I would share a funny story to go with this. A few years back, I decided I wanted to make peanut brittle. Has anybody in here ever made peanut brittle? All right, so I was making it, and I made a whole bunch one day, and I kept looking at the recipe before I'd pour everything in. I'd do it, and I'd check it, and I'd check it. Well, then a week later, I thought, I checked that recipe so many times, I know it. I should know it by heart. It wasn't peanut brittle that came out. I don't know what that was, but somebody ate it and tried to be nice and tell me it was good. I think I mixed the salt and the sugar up, and trust me, it was salty. And he just ate it like it was the best thing ever, bless his heart. And what I realized was I thought I remembered that recipe, but there was two things I mixed up. And so I wanted to give you that little funny nugget because we have to renew our minds. We have to be constantly in scriptures. We have to read it and take it in on what it's trying to tell me. Not only do you need to be in the Word, but the Word needs to be in you. Being in the Word activates those gifts. They come alive and they give you authority to be able to proclaim whatever you need. Whatever is inside you in times of crisis will come out of you. I've had moments in my life where I've been able to overcome things like nothing. Other times where it pushed me to where I had to have time to just separate and be with God and allow myself to heal. And I had to let Him be the one to heal me. I think about baby Christians, people who just got saved. They get so excited. It's the best feeling ever. I miss that feeling sometimes because you feel like you can just take on the world, right? And you go and you tell everyone about Jesus. You want to share the gospel with everyone because that's the goal. That's what we're supposed to do. But if we don't take those baby Christians and disciple them and show them how to properly read and understand scriptures, what's going to happen when they come across someone who has a question? A lot of times what my husband does that I love, he actually has read different types of Bibles or different types of, studied different types of beliefs and religions so that when he witnesses to them, he knows what they believe. And he's able to talk to them about it and ask them questions about their belief. He's had some people say, "How do you even know that?" He's like, "Well, I've read it. I did my research. I talked to people." He doesn't just go in there blindly. In fact, he prays every time he goes to and from Kenya. He prays to be seated next to a Muslim because usually we're on Muslim airlines. We go through Qatar sometimes. And so that's what he wants to do is just have a conversation. It doesn't have to be that we're pushing it down their throats. He's talking in love and he's ministering at the same time, and he's listening. He's listening to what they have to say back. Sometimes that gets missed. We will be challenged at one point or another, not just on our faith, but on what the Bible says, what it tells us. For example, the love of money. Somebody who doesn't know that it says the love of money can take that completely wrong and think, well, money's evil. Well, not if it supplies food for your family. Not if it keeps the electricity on. I mean, Pastor Seth talked about being a cheerful giver. I talked Wednesday night about stewardship, and that is how to manage and how to keep that balance when it comes to generosity and management. If you're over generous, you'll go bankrupt. If you overmanage and never be generous, you're only generous to yourself and never to anyone else or to God. So there is a balance, and we learn this in reading the Word. That's where the power comes from. So the Word of God is renewing us every single day. It's not a one and done. In fact, we need this for our everyday life. We don't have to overcomplicate it. We don't have to go through and try to overdo the theology of every single scripture. There are scriptures in this that goes with our everyday life. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Maybe. Do you have it? Okay. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Corrupt word. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So should you say any corrupt word? Come on, let me hear you. No. That right there itself is an everyday scripture that you can understand and see and say, maybe I ought to guard my mouth a little. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So what does that say about Jesus flipping the tables? Got to read it in context, don't we? We have to guard ourselves on how our anger is. That's another one for every day. Matthew 5:37. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. That's just telling you to be a man of your word. Be true to your word. And I'll give you one more. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. See, these are scriptures we can live by every day. We don't have to overthink them. Not every scripture needs to be some deep theological conversation. Some of them are just common sense. That's why we need the renewing. Sometimes I need to be reminded of this. We all do. Look at where our world has been in the past year. Some of those scriptures need to be reminded. A daily reminder. And that's why we renew ourselves every day. Doesn't matter if you read it 3 months ago. Read it again. If God's putting it on your heart to read it, do it. And take it in. Don't just read it. It's not a routine. I'll finish up with the last one. Number 3, the Word of God is a lineage. When I looked up the word lineage, I thought about what the first word that came out to me was ancestry. It's a passing down. We see throughout the Bible that there are family trees that go down. And not only that, we see that people are now doing the thing where they spit in the cup and they send it off because they want to know their family history. They want to know. Well, as us as a church body, we are a family. And we have to pass this down. The one thing a Christian should never be known for is the famous worldly phrase, those who don't know teach. We have to lead by example. We have to be in the Word ourselves in order to be able to teach the Word. Think about my mom and dad. Growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Didn't know anything about God, the Bible, or anything. I kind of gave this on Wednesday that I learned a lot of scripture by teaching Sunday school after I was already in the ministry with my husband. I learned a lot more then than I ever did growing up. Now, I'll ask you this. Was it wrong of my mom and dad to not teach me the Bible? No. You can't teach what you don't have. They didn't have the word in their life. Why would they teach it to me? We have to lead by example. Now, with me being a Christian who believes that Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that I could have eternal salvation and be one with God. Because of that, it would be wrong of me to not teach that example to my children. We have to pass that down. We have to show them with an example. Now, I got permission from Pastor Seth to do this. So, you get mad at it, get mad at him. Okay? So, okay. Right here. This happens a lot. We love to show that the youth are here. It's amazing. This is beautiful. This is worth celebrating. It is. Now, Pastor Seth and Miss Kelsey are doing an amazing job as their pastors. Absolutely. But I want to share a secret that they want to share too, I bet. They don't want all the credit. We have to work together. They need you in their life too. There are things that Pastor Seth and Miss Kelsey have never experienced that some of you have that these kids may be going through. There are things that can impact them that you can pour into. When they come here and they worship, it's not a show. It's not a spectacle. What they know is that when we read the Word of God, that's God speaking to us. I heard a phrase the other day that made me laugh. If you ever want to hear God's voice, read the Bible out loud. Okay? There you go, and you'll hear God's voice, because every single word in that is God breathed. Amen. But when they're here worshiping, they're giving to God. That is them giving to God. In their prayer time and in their Bible study is when God's giving to them. And so when they come here, there is a difference in the atmosphere that happens. And it's because they are in tune with God. They are speaking to God. They are loving on Him. I stand over here because I want that presence too. I want that atmosphere. And we have a few more that stand. But you know what? There's room up here. There is a change in the atmosphere. There is a shift when there's true worship happening. And sometimes we get it twisted. I've seen a post go around that just drives me crazy. And it's people talking about how we're losing theology because the old hymns aren't sung anymore. I have no problem with hymns. I'll worship to whatever. I really will. But here's the thing. We can't get our theology from the music. The music has to complement the Word of God. So when we learn a new song at the house and we start worshiping, something I do with the boys, I go through and I teach them in Scripture. This is why we sing it. Recently, the song Rattle, I was showing them all the little examples in there. You know, the bones that were thrown. Come on. If you just get your theology from listening to the song, guess what? You have no clue what that means. So, theology and music, it's awesome. I love it. But we have to get past the mindset that if the hymns are gone or if the music is gone, then the theology is gone. When God gave us something that if we're not careful, this will be gone. This is where our theology should come. And not only that, as them being the pastors over these wonderful children, sorry, I didn't mean to call you kids, youth, and as we are pastors over everyone here, we are just to accentuate what you're already doing in your life. We're there to lift you up and help you. And if you have a question, We're there to be there and pray with you and answer. And if we don't have the answer, we'll be honest. We don't mind telling you, I don't know. Because pretending is that falsehood. And we cannot have a church that's built on that. Amen? So if you're mad, get mad at Pastor Seth. Okay? I did literally tell him like this morning, and he gave me the green light and said, yeah. So there you go. Sorry. Matthew chapter 4. I want to finish up there. We're getting ready to close. I know y'all are excited. I'm actually hitting it on time. Praise God. Matthew chapter 4. I know I told you to go to verse 4. Is there any way you can go to verse 3? If no, I can pull it up. Woo! All right. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6. And said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 7. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 9. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. There's three things I saw in that passage. Number one, Jesus used scripture. The very first scripture I used today was in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. If Jesus has been there since the beginning, and he had to use scripture, or he chose to use scripture to defeat the enemy, what does that say about us? A lack of knowledge is killing our generations, because we have to battle sometimes with the Word of God. That's where we build up our faith and get our strength. So Jesus used scripture. The number two thing that I saw that I wanted to share with you is a simple fact that as I looked through this, God showed me this morning. Three times Satan tried Jesus and then gave up. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3 with Eve, Satan tempted Eve with food. Eve came back and said what God had told her. So Satan tried again, and she gave in. Having authority, I'm not saying that Eve didn't have any authority. She walked and saw God. But what I will say is the enemy will not just give up at one time. He will keep pushing and keep pushing. And it changes. If you notice, it started with food. He had been fasting. Then it moved on to something bigger. Then something even bigger than that. And that's how Satan will tempt us. But when Jesus came back at him, he used scripture. He counterattacked him with the Word of God, because the Word of God is a weapon. So I also wanted to give you one last thing. The worship team would come up. I'm closing. Something that I just have to brag about for a minute as a mom. Last night, my son Adam was asking me, hey, you know, tell me about your message. And so I started breaking it down, right? And he said, you know what you ought to mention? You know, sometimes when I'm going through a difficult time and I pray and ask God to speak to me, I'll open up my Bible and exactly where I'm at is exactly what I needed. He said, you know, that's a big deal. You should share that. It is. It is. God wants to speak to us. And I'm grateful that my son understands that. We have to lead by example. My children are my number one calling. If I lose them, I've lost it all. So we have to put our children first. Like I said before, Pastor Seth and Miss Kelsey, they want to share it. They want everybody to know how amazing this youth is. And the children's church, Miss Sally does too. Because that's the next generation, and what you're doing is you're leading by example. You're showing them how to pour into the next generation and love on them. When we first moved here, it was a pretty rough time. It's part of life. We were a little hurt, a little broken. God mended that, and we were doing great. But part of that hurt was on my children. Steve reached out in Royal Rangers to Adam, and that touched him. And I've seen people pour into my children here and just love on them. And here's my bragging moment. I have my oldest son back here running the computer. I've never told him to do that. I've never pushed him. That was something he wants to do, because he's seen how joyful people are that do that. And Adam greets every person at the door every Sunday. And he loves doing it. And I'm sorry, I know I'm embarrassing them, but that's a proud mama moment. There have not always been proud mama moments. I bet every parent in here could say there have not always been proud mama moments or daddy moments. And so, seeing that people are pouring into my children like that, because you know what? Pastor Seth isn't over the greeters. That had to be someone else showing love. So just know who you're ministering to. You're making an impact, but you have to step up and do it. And part of that is getting in the Word and knowing the Word, because they're going to have questions for you. Don't fake it till you make it. And don't say those who don't do teach, because that's not where to go. We're all in this together. It's a lineage. We're passing it down from generation to generation. There is a huge expanse of a family tree all over this world. It's not just our church. It's not just the Assemblies of God. The man who came this morning for my husband so that he could tell the testimony of when he was blind is now a part of that family. Amen? It's a lineage. And so if I could get you to stand, I'm going to close out, have a moment of an altar call. Bow your head and close your eyes, please. The first thing I want to say is I want to give the challenge. If you don't know God, and if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can change that. You don't have to leave the same way you came in. And if you've fallen away, you can still come up. There's no shame. We've all had to make that walk. We've all had to admit our faults to God. So for a moment, I want to take a little bit of time. If that's you, raise your hand.